You can't hold this guy down. You can't hold him back. He's Mark Mariani, former Titan.
Moonshine.
What's up, Moonshine?
Where I'm at, I'm coming on, bro. I'm going to come join the show with you guys all the time. You know this.
Where are you? Are you in Montana shooting season 4 of Yellowstone?
I'm caked up with sunscreen, man, on the beach in Florida, enjoying a little Thanksgiving break over here.
I thought for sure
you I thought you were going to say shooting deer in Montana or something.
I thought you had to be on set. Like on location, because you know they need to get the correct caricature of Jamie, who is based on your life story.
Easy, bro. Easy. You're Jamie. Golly, don't be putting that out on the airwaves for people to hear that. Yay. No.
How is it on the beach? Is it warm?
Everyone goes to the down to 30A. I go out on the East Coast to a place called Cocoa Beach. Man, I watched a rocket take off. Elon Musk sent his satellites out in the sky, I think that's who it was, last night, and over here in Cape Canaveral. It's beautiful, man. It's been nice. Got a little dolphin in. Took a few hacks out of the fairway. So it's good, man. Life is good.
Wait, so for Thanksgiving, you go to Cape Canaveral? This is very unexpected.
Well, yeah. Actually, yes, I do. My grandma's still down here. We've been coming down here for years. That's why I've been just spoiled rotten going to Disney World so much, man. I grew up coming down here, riding all the rides, faking like I was, I'm down here faking like I'm Top Gun, all the Air Force bases down here. So that's where Mav got his nickname.
So do you get a little rise in the hair and wear the aviators?
Dude, absolutely. I mean, I watch these guys cruise up and down the beach. I'm like, that is me, bro. I could have been that guy. I could have been Maverick. I wouldn't want to be Goose, but. So I had to name my kid after him instead.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, Goose met an unfortunate demise when his body crashed into the cockpit roof. So that was a tough break for him.
That's another thing COVID took away from us. They were supposed to do a re-release or a new Top Gun summer of 2020, and they postponed it. I think it's going out next summer, though, so I'm anxiously awaiting that.
All right. So what was your reaction when Derrick Henry got loose on that 29-yard game winner, the walk-off shot?
Oh, man. I couldn't believe it. Unbelievable. That was a hard-fought game, all three phases. Our special teams came through clutch for us. I really thought Gostkowski was going to come down to his foot again, which, you know what? For some reason, I told you last on Friday, if Coach Vrabel is going to ride with him, which I didn't think he was, then I'm going to ride with him too. And I actually felt confident, but when our boy broke off that 30-yarder and just ended things on his own terms, it felt good. And we really needed that. I mean, we would have been kind of down in the dumps, licking our wounds if we go lose that football game and are sitting at 6-4 going into this game. So that was huge. And I think, man, I think it tells a lot about this football team. And at 7-3 with 6 games left, you know, there's a lot of football left in this season. And to win a close game against, I don't care what the records say, against a really nasty AFC opponent who's kind of been one of the front runners for the last few years, that was huge for this football team and hopefully boosts our confidence going forward.
You know, maybe you agree, maybe you don't, I don't know. But to me, it felt like watching that it felt like a playoff game. And we had Rashawn Evans on a couple of days ago, and I asked him that, and he said, 100%, it felt like a playoff game. He said it felt like just a continuation of the game in January. Did you feel that watching it?
Oh, I totally felt it. The intensity was through the roof. I mean, every yard was earned. People were flying around. It was physical. It was nasty. I mean, there were some high stakes. We talked about it going into this game. This really puts the Baltimore Ravens behind the eight ball in the playoff chase. And, you know, for us, we're leading our division or co-leading our division and kind of back in the driver's seat in control of our own destiny. So there was a lot on the line for a regular season game. And just in that overtime, man, the season could have been swung in many different ways. And, you can go out and beat a number of football teams that way, but to beat the Baltimore Ravens, like I said, a team that, has a ton of tradition and a ton of rivalry with this organization as well. It was huge. It was huge. And I hope we can bottle that up and open that up on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts.
Mark Mariani, former Titan Pro Bowler, with us every week on Friday at 4:15. Former All-Pro, too. Don't let me shortchange you there, Mark. SoldByMariani.com is the website. You need to check that out while we talk football with Mark. He'll tell you more about what he's got going on business-wise in just a little bit. But check it out, SoldByMariani.com. That was a chippy game. You said it, man. It started with the team meeting at midfield, which Rashawn Evans says the Titans do that everywhere they go. No one's ever had a problem with it until John Harbaugh did. And he mic'd up, like the microphones caught him saying it was disrespectful, and Mike Vrabel telling him to go coach his football team. I thought that kind of set the tone.
Before the game even starts, the tempers are flaring, man. That's what I like to see. You talk about a playoff mentality and a playoff mindset. It was before the game was even kicked off. So you knew it was going to be a tough, nasty, physical game. And it was in their house, man. And I tell you what, I don't know, maybe it's just the way that I'm born and raised and the way my journey went. And now as a Titans football fan, I feel like we are so much better when we feel like we're being disrespected or the underdogs, or, you know, we're the road warriors, or we have a little chip on our shoulder. And, you know, going on the road against a team that was favored by a touchdown and in their house, and then somebody, you know, calls it disrespectful and wants to come have an altercation. You know, I just feel like we do better in that role, and we do better with that mentality as opposed to being the front runner. And we're back in that role this week. And I just feel like it took really just set the tone for the day. And I know they got out in front of us, and I know that we were down, what was it, 2 scores in the third, but I just felt, you never felt like that game was too far out of hand, and you felt like we were on the verge of, if we just make a couple plays and get that thing done, because we were in the, you know, we were giving them everything they could handle, and in the end, we made enough plays to win the game.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that when Baltimore took the 21-10 lead, I was watching with two of my kids, and we all kind of agreed that it's not over, right? Like you said, but that the Titans needed to score on that drive, and they did. And it's funny to go back and kind of watch the game again and listen to Lamar Jackson's comments after the game, where he said that they let the foot off the gas when they got the lead, and that the other team wanted it more, which may or may not be true. I think the Titans probably did want it more. I mean, just from aesthetics, that's the way it looked down the stretch. But I would rather credit the Titans and the job that they did fighting back, because that's what they do. This isn't just a one-off thing.
Yeah, this has become a part of the character of our football team. Is you got to play 60 minutes, and you better put us away when you have the opportunity. You better put, you know, especially this offense away when you have the opportunity. And we had a couple of drives where we stalled out on Sunday. We had a couple possessions that were pretty ugly. We talked about on Friday again, the negative plays. You know, I thought we had some – overall, our run game was great. You know, our stat line looks really healthy and really good, but I felt like there were some times where we were a little bit what's the right word? Maybe just bland and not creative, and just sort of, everybody knew what was
vanilla.
Coming. And we tried to vanilla, running up the A gap, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you start your drive in second and long, and then you're off the field. So there was times when that happened, and if Lamar and his boys, you know, felt like that was the right team to take the foot off the gas, and they obviously haven't been watching this year. So you got to put this Tennessee Titans team away when you can, because at the end of the day, we've proven it. I think I saw something today 5 or 6 times this year already that we make plays when the game's on the line, especially in the fourth quarter, to win football games, and we've proven it now. So anyway, they gave us a chance. They let us hang around, and ultimately we made enough plays to get the job done. I mean, at this point, you know, you can say what you want, and I didn't love all the stuff that happened on offense on Sunday, but I can't say enough about these two receivers, Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, and the production we're getting out of these guys right now. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. And to see what A.J. Brown does on that touchdown, and to see what Corey Davis. Yeah, I mean, dude, this is just mind-blowing. And I've been thinking about it ever since and trying to figure out, okay, how can we avoid some of these negative plays? How can we get these guys more involved? And I will say this. I don't want to critique Arthur Smith, because I think he's the GOAT right now. He's pulling all the right strings and doing everything. But as a Christmas wish list, I would like to maybe take a page from whoever, the Green Bay Packers, or I guess whoever, you know, whatever. Just, can we get a bubble screen? Can we get the ball in these guys' hands a little more often with a space, there's not one human being on this planet that's going to tackle A.J. Brown right now in the open field, or Johnny Smith, or any of these guys one-on-one. And so I wish it wasn't so hard to get these guys the ball in the open field. It seems like it's been a little more difficult, but kudos to those guys, because every single time their number is called, and a lot of people, including myself, have been hard on Corey Davis, especially coming into this season. He has been as consistent as it gets, especially after the family tragedy he went through, being mentally focused these last couple weeks, and then going out and making just massive plays over and over when the game was on the line. He's really, to me, becoming Tannehill's go-to guy. I mean, A.J. Brown's a big play guy, and it feels like whenever he touches the ball, something amazing is going to happen. But Corey Davis just seems to be who he's looking for, when he's in a tough spot or needs a clutch play or a consistent play. And it's just awesome to watch, especially, Corey Davis in probably his last year here, the progression that he made this year. And it's good for him. And, gosh, if those two guys keep going off this year, we're going to be really tough to beat down the stretch.
I'm curious, big picture, when we talk about Corey Davis and progression, because you know me, I had just written him off. Coming into the year, I was like, you can't. He is what he is. He's shown what he is. That's it. So from that standpoint, to be able to put together a year like this in the difference, what have you seen, or what do you think it is? I mean, sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's physical from a health standpoint, sometimes it's the people around you. I get it. There are a lot of variables, but if you had to big picture point to something with Corey's game, what would you think?
Well, yeah, and that's a great point, Don, is because everybody sort of wrote him off. And when they didn't pick up his fifth year option, it was kind of like, well, why would they? We haven't seen whatever, but the frustration for Titans fans, and I'm sure the front office and the coaching staff, has always been how much potential this guy has and how good we want he could be and how bad we want him to be that number one guy. And I don't know the answer, but I know that the potential has always been there. So I think what makes him special is his ability to run, like, precise routes on a consistent basis. We saw last year, mentally maybe, whatever, but he was slipping. He was not in sync with the quarterback. And I think a lot of pressure got taken off his shoulders when A.J. Brown came in, kind of busted through the door, kind of became that number one guy in the locker room and in that room. And so now you had the pressure off. I didn't get my option. Now I got to go play, do what I do and get back to just playing football. And it just seems like you see a much more relaxed guy who's now not dropping the football, not slipping, going out and making plays. And, dude, when you're a quarterback and you have a guy that you say, hey, I need you to go beat this guy one-on-one, but I need you to be at 12 yards when I'm on my fifth step or whatever the timing is, and he's there, that is a safety blanket. That's really important for Ryan Tannehill to have. So he's been extremely impressive this year. And honestly, when you have a guy on both sides of the field and then Jonnu in the middle and weapons all over the place like that, and you got to worry about 22 in the backfield, this offense, when we start clicking, could be really, really special. And so, it excites me down the stretch here because I know there's six games left and we're in a dogfight, but, man, it's fun to watch.
Great stuff on Corey Davis. Corey Davis, for those that don't know, leads the Titans with 39 receptions, A.J. Brown with 36, leads the Titans with 549 yards, A.J. Brown with 540, leads the Titans with 31 first downs, and A.J. Brown with 28. Now, yards after catch. I'll have to look this up. I can't imagine there's anybody with more yards after the catch than A.J. Brown, 252. And I wanted to ask, I know you spent some time on this already, but from a wide receiver perspective, maybe the most impressive play that I've seen from A.J. Brown was that touchdown where he broke five tackles inside the 10-yard line, where there's limited space and you're not moving very fast and you're still running through people. That just blew my mind.
Oh, that kind of play right there is there's no scouting, there's no measurables, there's nothing that you can do to say that. All that is that my guy is better than your guy, and that was an individual effort where he just said, I want this more, and it was just unbelievable to watch. I can't say enough about a play like that. I mean, that was just pure grit, pure will, and that's part of the reason I would love to see us try to get the ball into his hands as much as possible. And maybe, like I said, I'm not critiquing our OC. I don't want to even start anything out there because we're playing great. But I would at some point, and especially we can talk about, you know, moving into a game against the Indianapolis Colts defense, who's,
yeah,
if they're not still ranked number one, they're in the top three in the league, but they're going to be focusing on stopping Derrick Henry, right? So in my opinion, in my eyes, why don't we get a short throw to, why don't we get a short bubble, a wide receiver screen to AJ? If you fall forward for three or four, that's just as good as a first down run. That's just as good as running the ball up the A gap. Now you're in second and five. But with a guy like that, man, you have potential to bust that thing to the house every single play. You put AJ Brown in the open field with a cornerback or a nickel DB. Best of luck to you, Indianapolis Colts. So I mean, I would love to see more of that. We got to get a little more creative in our run game because teams are starting to tee off on us. But like I said, I think the stat line looks a little different for Derrick Henry if it's, you know, 27 for 140. But if he doesn't get that, or 27 for 133 or whatever, if he doesn't get that big one in the end, now it's 27 for 100, and we kick the game-winning field goal, and the run game maybe wasn't as effective as we all remember it. You know, so I just, there's negative plays there that are setting us back a little bit. But would love to see getting A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith the ball in the open field because those guys are just beasts, so, you know, one-on-one.
Mark Mariani, 80 on Twitter. You can check him out there. SoldByMariani.com is the website. Mark Mariani, former Titan, Pro Bowler, and All-Pro. Derrick Henry, already over 1,000 yards through 10 games, has 1,079, 10 more than Dalvin Cook. Henry leads the NFL in rushing, of course, won the rushing title last year. He had 832 through 10 games last year, so significantly more yardage, but also significantly more carries. So that's kind of where Derrick Henry is. I love doing this to people on the air, and if you can't hang for the next segment, please tell me. But can you hang for the next segment to break down the Colts?
I would love to, man. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm here for all right. You.
He's on the beach.
He's at the beach. I mean,
sucked you in. Sorry, this is, moonshine.
This is the love affair that we all have for each other that we can.
No doubt. Can, I'm here for you. I got you covered.
We can pull
his
all these
family's going to be like, dang, 3HL.
I know. So we'll talk with Mark about the Colts specifically when we come back and go from there. We got to get his blood in the water pick, too. I mean, that's a must have on a Friday afternoon. That's coming up. Stay tuned. Right. More Mark Mariani next on 104.5 The Zone. Ah, Savior of the 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Mariani holds over for another segment. We got that far into the Ravens game. Now we need to talk about the Colts game. Talk a little bit about it, but want to talk about that matchup. And I want Mark to tell you about what he's got going on at SoldByMariani.com.
Yeah, honestly, you guys know the Nashville real estate market is hotter than ever. And with the big group gatherings, we have up to 8 people in the next coming days. You know, your family and friends are going to be talking about real estate. You're going to be talking about how cool Nashville is, how they want to move there. And all I want you to do is think about this. SoldByMariani.com. Send them my way. I'll get your family and friends all dialed up. Put me to work. We're doing buying, selling, investing. We cover it all. So SoldByMariani.com. Send them my way.
Mark, two things about this Colts matchup. How difficult do you think it is to prepare for a team to play this close apart? Like they played 2 weeks ago. How difficult does that make the preparation? Also, it looks like DeForest Buckner may be out. He's on the COVID IR list. They put him on that thing today. He had 5 tackles and 3 quarterback hits in the first meeting. A couple of things to kind of go through.
That when I read that this morning, I was like, you know, is it Christmas early or what? And I immediately started thinking about the timeline. Okay, what if he tests? You know, is he gonna be there Sunday or not? I mean, if he was out, that'd be a huge loss for the Colts defense and a big boost for the Tennessee Titans offense. But as far as the preparation goes, you know, it's less about the preparation. They're not gonna throw anything new at you. It's more about knowing your opponent and getting ready for a very tough physical matchup. I mean, this stretch to the Titans, it's Colts, Ravens, Colts, and then Browns. Turns out Browns is going to be a tough physical game as well. This is a make-or-break time for this team. And so going against this team again, you've seen what they do. You've seen what Phillip Rivers likes to do. He's spreading that ball around. He's getting it out of his hand. His snap-to-throw timing is under 2 seconds when he's being in his most efficient. And so, you know this team. You know what they're all about. You're going to Indianapolis where you've been many times. And let's call a spade here. This team has gotten the best of us for years now. And it seems like every time, you know, you go down the stretch in this division, you got to go through the Indianapolis Colts, and you got to go through Indianapolis, Indiana. And so we got to go up there and put our foot down, just like we did against the Baltimore Ravens at midfield before the game. We got to go put our foot down at that stadium and go get a W and take care of business, man. I'm fired up. You guys kept me on for another segment, and this commercial break was hard for me. I was about ready to freak out, but it's go time, man. This game is a must-win. It needs to be labeled a must-win, not just for the playoff run, not just for the 2020 season, but for this organization. It's time to take control of this division. We want to go make some things happen in the playoffs, but we need to win this division first, and it starts on Sunday. We know this football team. They know us. We're like a sibling rivalry. We know each other, and we're going to give each other our best shot, but it's time to go take care of it.
It's time for the blood in the water pick. And for those that are new to the show, the blood in the water pick for Mark Mariani is he takes an underdog and bets the money line. And he'll give it to you right now. What game do you like? I mean, the Titans are an option at plus three now. It was 3.5. It's down to 3.
Yeah, so you set it up, man. And listen, I had some other things going, and you know I'll be all over the Thanksgiving Day games and everything. But when you look at the schedule, you circle this game, and you see -3 for the Indianapolis Colts. What do you think immediately, baby? 3 points? We don't want them. Let's go, baby. It's time to go take advantage. It's time to go take control of the AFC South. You got me fired up. I was going to go in a different direction, but listen, man, all the cards are on the table. All the cards are on the table. Here's why I say that. I don't like picking – I don't like betting – I always bet with my heart on the Tennessee Titans. And so, you know, you kind of get yourself strung out there a little bit going, you know, this is my favorite team, whatever. So I kind of stay away. I don't want to be unlucky. But screw the stock. Gostkowski's clutch. We're going to go win this game in Indianapolis, baby. Let's go.
The sock.
I like the Titans plus the 3 too. I'd rather have 3.5, but I like the Titans plus the 3 as well.
What did we say though? 3.5. We don't want them. Let's go. Money line under five.
That's right.
Baby. Blood in the water. You can smell it.
Is that what I smell? The blood in the water?
Yeah. It's Philip Rivers, cinder block feet, man. We're gonna get after him. We're gonna punish him. We're gonna make his life hell. I mean, listen. I respect this football team. They're nasty. Their defense is good, and having Philip Rivers behind center is such an upgrade because of what he gives you from a mental standpoint and the stuff he does pre-snap. He is so phenomenal. But that being said, it's time to get after these guys. Our defense, since they got put on notice, has been playing better. I feel like the effort has been there. I mean, we handed the Colts 17 points last time we played them with a bad punt and a punt block and a missed field goal. So you can't hold that against them. But I just really believe we go take the physicality to them. We get after the quarterback. We make Phillip stay tough, and we go do what we need to do on offense. I like our matchup. I know we got to stay healthy. I know we got to take care of Ryan Tannehill. But like I said, it's time. It's time to go take it, you know, put our foot down and grab hold of the AFC South division. It's time to go into that stadium and get a W when we need it the most. This team has owned us the last few years, but we're done. We're putting our foot down just like we did against the Baltimore Ravens. Midfield, we'll see you pregame.
ISoldMariani.com is the website for which I sold you on the Titans money line here. what was the game that you liked other than that one?
Dude, tomorrow, you know, you need a little Thanksgiving pick as well. I love the Washington Football of Washington, whatever their names are, baby.
WTF.
Yeah.
Yeah, WTF. The Red Rifle and the Dallas Cowboys are not going to be able to get it done, man. That defense is too damn good. You want to see a team get after a quarterback? You watch that Washington I did that on accident that time. You watch that Washington football team. That first one was on purpose. That one was on accident. But you watch the Washington football team get after Andy Dalton tomorrow. That's gonna be fun to watch. So that was what I was gonna go with. But it's too much, man. The Titans, our time is now. 2020 is our year. We got things clicking, and I cannot wait. Like I said, I respect this opponent immensely, but it is go time, man. AFC South is ours, and we're gonna prove that on Sunday.
Happy Thanksgiving, bro. Enjoy all right, watching happy your Rockets all weekend. I don't know.
You guys have a great happy Thanksgiving. I miss you. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, what's your favorite side dish for Thanksgiving?
My favorite side dish?
Yeah.
Gravy.
All right. Dude, sounds good.
Everything simple, with gravy. Man. Mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey, just slobber in gravy, dude. Everything. Salty as can be.
There you go. Thanks, Mark.